Lord, allow the Holy Spirit to come to be a part as our advocate, as our counselor. And we thank you so much for that, Lord. Thank you for worship. For Father, you and you alone are worthy of our worship. We praise you for that. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Good to see everybody out again this morning. And really do appreciate Claire. Wasn't that an incredible song that she sang? And I know Billy and Tanisha have to be thankful that God's blessed them with such a wonderful, their children are wonderful, but Claire has a special gift, and I'm so thankful that she's not afraid to use her gift for the Lord. And it's just a beautiful time, and it makes a big difference in all of our lives. We'll be looking at John's Gospel again. We're going to finish up chapter 15. If you'd like to open up your Bibles to John 15, we'll be looking at verses 26 and 27. Then we're going to bleed over to chapter 16 and read through the first 15 verses of chapter 16 as Jesus kind of combines this all together to talk about the Holy Spirit. You know, I ran across a story about a guy who lost his job he made some mistakes in his job, and he was an office worker, doing all kinds of office worker there, but he had a family, he had to take care of them, and the only job he could get was general labor as a hod carrier, and it was a very hard, strenuous, physically demanding job, and he had not been really used to doing that, and really hadn't done that kind of stuff before in his life, but nonetheless, he had to make sure that he took care of his family, and so he went to work with there, and it was the most miserable experience that he'd ever experienced. Not because of the work, he didn't mind doing the job, but the guys that he worked with, every time a woman would go by, the construction field just went crazy and did some inappropriate things that he was disheartened about and just felt terrible about. And then, you know, he wasn't the most skilled worker, and so he oftentimes made mistakes, and he would just be subjected to laughter, and not just laughing at the time he made the mistake, but it continuously going on and on and on, just making fun of him. Many places that you've worked probably has done similar type of things, but he was really crushed inside, and he was struggling. And finally, he decided, you know what, I'm going to quit. I know my family needs this money, I know the family needs me to work this job, but I can't do this job. I just will pray that God will deliver another job. So he said, 10 o'clock at break time, I'm not coming back from break. I'm gonna walk out. Well, 10 o'clock finally came, and he decided, you know what, I'm not gonna do that. I'm gonna wait for a couple more hours. And so he decided at lunchtime, at noon, he's gonna quit. Well, interesting thing enough was about 11:30, the foreman came by. And after working for a number of weeks, he finally had his first paycheck. And so the foreman came up, and for the very first time in all these weeks that he'd worked there, he kind of was kind of civil to him. It was kind of nice. And he said, hey, I got your paycheck. And he said, oh, by the way, one of the ladies up front, she wanted me to give you a note, and she says that she takes care of your kids sometimes. And the man began to think, who in the world is he talking about? And he said, the only one I know about is, well, the young girl who works with my children in the nursery at church. And he opens up his paycheck, and sure enough, there was this beautiful little note. And in that note, she simply said these words. She said, when one part of the body of Christ suffers, we all suffer with it. Just wanted you to know that I'm praying for you these days. His heart all of a sudden became encouraged, because just knowing that he didn't even know this woman even worked there, but just knowing that someone cared, here at his very lowest hour, she had given him the courage to go on, to maintain this job so his family could have food on the table. You know, just when you need it the most, a Christian friend sent him a note of encouragement. Why would she have written this note? And of all times, why would she have written it now, on this day, within a half hour of him throwing it all behind him? Christians, how many times have you ever been convicted by the Holy Spirit to do something you don't know why, and you have no clue as to why, but you just feel convicted to do that? Could this woman have known what this church friend was getting ready to do? Could she have known how miserable and how downtrodden he was? But yet, she sent a note. Not just any note. She sent a note with the exact words that he needed to hear at exactly the right time, and then it was delivered by the most unlikely of individuals. The Holy Spirit helps us right when we need it the most. How many times have you had an urge to call someone, to write a note, stop by and visit someone, buy some milk and bread for somebody, and pay the camp fees for one of the childs to go to camp? And then you find out later it was the exact help that that person needed at that moment. You sometimes, we are the one in needing the help. And somehow, God gives us the help right when we need it most. But just as important, sometimes we're guided by the Holy Spirit to do things and to encourage and help someone exactly when they need it most. Christians, we're never alone and we're never abandoned. And right when we need it the most, God helps us. God offers, God expects us to use our obedience to Him. And in turn, He uses us to accomplish His will. What seems to be insignificant, or we don't have a clue as to why, the Holy Spirit does, and it's huge in the recipients who need the help the very time that they need it most. Turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 15, starting with verse 26, and if you could open your Bibles and stand to your feet as we honor the Lord in reading His Word. These are the words of Jesus as we conclude chapter 15. He's talking about the Advocate, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth that we'll see described in here. And He goes on in verse 16 and tells us even more important truth. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth who goes from the Father, He will testify about Me. And you also must testify, for you have been with Me from the beginning. All this I have told you that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or Me. I have told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you. But now I'm going to Him who sent Me. None of you asked Me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. When He comes, He will provide the world to be in the wrong about sin, about righteousness, and about judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in Me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see Me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world, which is Satan, by the way, now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when He, the Spirit of Truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify Me because it is from Me that He will receive what He will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is Mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from Me what He will make known to you. Let's pray. Father, we thank You again for the words of Jesus Christ. Lord, it is true. It is inerrant. It is truth for us to live by. Lord, thank You for the promise of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we are so thankful for Jesus Christ coming from heaven to earth to live His sinless life, to die on the cross for all the sins, not my own sins only, but for the sins of all of mankind, who then was buried and rose from the grave. Thank You, Father, for that glorious resurrection and for Him to be able to be the Lord of my life. Lord, as we explore this passage, we know and truly recognize that while Jesus was with us, it was a wonderful experience. But Lord, we knew that You had something greater for us to have that would indwell in us, which is the Holy Spirit, which couldn't come until Jesus went back to heaven. And thank You, Lord, for that promise and for the gift of the Holy Spirit within us. Lord, bless us now as we explore Your Word. Thank You for help, the help that only comes from You, and the help when we needed it the very most. Thank You again for all You do for us, Lord. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. May be seated. Well, as we look at this passage, it's a beautiful passage of Scripture, and as we realize, in the last few weeks, Jesus has provided us in important lessons all within the confines of the discourse found in chapter 15. In fact, there were three specific messages that Jesus really didn't pull any punches about life as a believer. The last three messages from God's Word has been what many people like to refer to as real toe stompers. Don't know about you, but that's how I found them to be. You have to be a fruit-producing branch was the first message he talked about with us in verses 1 through 8. And that fruit-producing branch, it has to be connected to Jesus the vine, or else it will be cut off and thrown into hell's judgment. Then Jesus taught us about God's love. And to experience the joy of God's love, we must sacrifice. You know, we like the love thing, but not when it comes to sacrifice. You know, all of a sudden, we don't necessarily like that always. But nonetheless, that's exactly the lesson that Jesus taught us. Now, last week, the words of Jesus revealed that the world loves sin, but it hates Jesus, and it hates his truth, and it hates his righteousness, and it hates his justice. And as a result, when the sinful world sees us as believers in Christ, they will hate us also. So, you know, as you think about those three things, especially as they address us personally, they're not real what you refer to as ear ticklers. But they're true, and they can be stinging, and they can be very convicting. But today, the tone of the message substantially changes. Verses 7 through 11, we see this. It says, "But very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be wrong about sin and righteousness and judgments, about sin because people do not believe in me, about righteousness because I'm going to the Father where you can no longer see me, and about judgment because the prince of this world, as I shared earlier, it's Satan, now stands condemned." See, it hurt the disciples as Jesus was beginning to explain to him in his whole discourse here that was happening right after the Lord's Supper in the upper room. They were struggling with what Jesus was telling them, because essentially Jesus is saying, "I'm going to have to go away. I'm going to be gone. I'm not going to be with you anymore." So their hearts were hurting, and it was hard to imagine life without Jesus being with them on this earth. But Jesus reassures them and us even to this day that he has to go away, or the power that we desperately need can't come upon us. Now, the Holy Spirit has always existed from the beginning of time. God has always existed, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So it wasn't like he just gave it to us all of a sudden. He'd always existed, but the Holy Spirit hadn't come upon us, as we know as New Testament Christians, as of this writing where Jesus is right now. And when the Holy Spirit does come on us, we see that we are not alone in the work of the Lord. And that's the truth that Jesus knew, and the disciples, and for us today, that we desperately needed to know. We're not alone living in a sinful world that hates us. Now, it's interesting, because as Jesus was expanding here in verses 7 through 11, he said that the Holy Spirit came to prove some things. The Holy Spirit will prove how wrong the world is about sin. The Holy Spirit came to prove how wrong the world is about righteousness. The Holy Spirit came to prove how wrong the world is about judgment. Now, when we think about sin and righteousness and judgment as a Christian, we know what those terms clearly mean. Well, guess what? The world has definitions of sin, righteousness, and judgment as well, but they're not in correlation to our definition, which is accordance with God's word. See, sin for them is a total different meaning for them than us. You know, it's kind of an optional thing. We know sin misses the mark. It's away from God's will. We know God's righteousness is based on truth and righteousness of him and his word. We know that judgment is absolute and pure and true and is consistent with the will of God and God alone that he publishes throughout his scriptures and as he lives. The world, not so much. The Holy Spirit didn't come just to prove how right God is and how sin in the sinful world is. Because it's easy to see that and say, well, it's just proving how right God is and how wrong everything else is. But God doesn't have to prove himself. See, God is the great I am. The Holy Spirit came to show sinful man the proof so that they may repent and come to God. See, that's the thing about what God is that no matter how wrong someone is, no matter how condemned because of their sin they are, God does not necessarily want or enjoy condemning them. He wants them to repent and seek his forgiveness and be restored into a right relationship. They recognize the Holy Spirit is coming so we can recognize and accept Jesus as the Messiah and the Savior of the world. It's God's desire, again, to see man repent of their sins, be forgiven, and choose to live for Christ. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save it. And God does not enjoy holding sinful men accountable for their wrong choices. But because of sin, he has to. Because God is fully righteous and just. So sometimes people struggle with that, thinking that God enjoys holding people accountable and sending people to hell. He doesn't enjoy it. He just has to because he can't have anything to do with sin. In these verses that Jesus is telling us about, he's basically saying, my children, you're not going to be abandoned. You're not going to be left alone to fend for yourself. I, God's Son, can't be with you, but God the Holy Spirit will be. That's essentially what Jesus is telling us here. Jesus is different than the cowboy and Indian movies. You know, we all know those, how the Calvary always comes at the very end after all the battle's done, then here comes the Calvary, right? But that's not how God has scripted our life. The way of Jesus, he gives us the Calvary, and then we go into battle. See, with the promise that Jesus gives us, we don't get help after the fact. When we accept Jesus as Lord, we receive the Holy Spirit who indwells in us at exactly the right time in that time of need. So we have the help before the battle starts. And Christians, whenever we need God's help the most, remember you already have it because you have the Holy Spirit of truth. In verse 26, the word translated NIV says, when the advocate comes. If we look at other translations such as New American Standard Bible or New King James, it says the word helper. In the Christian Standard Bible or Holman Christian Standard Bible, it uses the word counselor. And of course, NIV, it says the advocate. All three words are used to describe the Holy Spirit, and all three words do not conflict with each other. They are accurate depictions of a description of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will be an advocate for us as Christians. The Holy Spirit will be our helper as we seek to live for the Lord. The Holy Spirit will be a counselor when life is confusing and when life is overwhelming. The beautiful Holy Spirit is the help that God provides believers when we are at a point of needing help the most, which is what we're going to explore today. If you look into your bulletin, there will be three points there, and the first point that I'd like to share with you is this. The Holy Spirit will help us testify. Verses 26 and 27 again says, when the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me, and you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. Friends, do you ever struggle with the thoughts that, man, this world is all about me. The world revolves around me. We all know people like that, don't we? But God doesn't give us the protector, this Holy Spirit, so that we can go about our life and accomplish all the things that we want to do. Unless what we want to do is what God wants us to do. Our relationship with God goes far deeper than just that. See, we were created for a reason. First thing for those who are Christians is having a real and a personal relationship with the Lord. But God has greater expectations for you than just simply that. He has created you to be his fellow worker. In Matthew 9, Jesus taught us about the harvest, and he said that the harvest was plentiful, but the workers were few. When Jesus becomes our Lord, God expects us to seek and to serve. We are to be God's worker in the harvest field, and that work varies with each of us. In fact, we may call it calling, or a call. But one thing that's not our calling, for which God expects all of his children to do, is to testify about him. In Acts 1:8, one of the power scriptures that we have when it comes to missions, it tells us, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Judea and Jerusalem and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. But Christians being a witness and testifying to others about God is not an option, our calling. It is an expectation, and it is a command. He says, you shall be my witnesses. We're commanded to testify. So the question I have for you today is, are you testifying for Jesus? Are you being a witness? Or are you making excuses? Are you trying to justify your disobedience by saying things like this, that, well, you know, I just don't know my Bible well enough? By saying, I just don't know what to say, or, well, I'm not comfortable talking to people. What if they laugh at me, or what if they reject me? You know, we can come up with all kinds of excuses, and we have to ask ourselves, really? All those excuses? You keep telling yourself all these excuses to why you're refusing to be obedient to the commands of Christ, and God's going to confront you between now and Judgment Day. God knows that we will need help in our testimony and witness. He knows that. And that's why we have this passage of Scripture promising that. He doesn't expect it to be a simple little task for you to be a witness and to testify Him. That's why He says that you will receive the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't do it by yourself. He doesn't expect you to do it by yourself. He expects you to do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. So He gave us this Holy Spirit. He gave us His power. He gave us His instruction. He gave us His commands. But one thing He did not give us was excuses. Why? Because He gave us the Holy Spirit and He commanded us to testify. The Holy Spirit will prepare us when we read His Scripture. If you struggle with Bible knowledge, then don't use that as an excuse. Use it as a motivator. Then read the Bible, study the Bible, live the Bible, and the Holy Spirit will bless you. He'll counsel you. He will guide you. You don't know what to say or how to say it or how to share it with others, then pray. Seek godly counsel and seek the power of the Holy Spirit, and God will give you the direction. Christians, we have to want what God wants. He wants us to testify. Do you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind? Jesus said that was the first and greatest commandment. Then do what He says. Seek the power of the Holy Spirit and be His witness. Seek the power of the Holy Spirit and testify about the great things that God has done for you. See, the Father has sent us the Holy Spirit. He has saved us, given us the power. Now we simply need to do what He has commanded. Because, my friend, as ill-equipped as you may feel you are, I will tell you this. If you know Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, you are not ill-equipped. Because you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which has been sent specifically to give you the power to testify. Second point that I want to share with you is this. The Holy Spirit, comfort when life gets tough. I know there's a lot of folks in our church. Last month or two has been incredibly tough. It's been difficult. And I hope that God will use this important point of truth to give your heart the solace that you need. In verses 1 through 4 of our focal passage, all this I have told you so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think that they're offering you a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I've told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning, because I was with you. Last week we learned that when we belong to Jesus, the world will hate us. Satan will attack us. Jesus wants you to know that when time gets tough, and by the way, I will tell you this positively, and they will, you're not alone. You have the Holy Spirit. Before you're in a crisis, you need to seek God's power to prepare your heart in His Word and to seek God's wisdom. When we grow in the times when adversity is absent, then we'll be better prepared when adversity comes. We also need to recognize our attitude. When we can't have an attitude that we should be free from heartache and strife, because that's not realistic, and that's never been a promise from God's Word. Just because we're a Christian doesn't mean that bad things won't happen to us. People get sick. People die. People have financial issues. We have troubles at work. We have relationship issues. Those things happen around, and we're not necessarily exempt from those things. We must have a, a heart of thanksgiving in the good times, but we also must have a heart of thanksgiving in the challenging times. When was the last time you thanked God for giving you a tough time? Allowing tough times to be in your life. But we need to, because it's a heart, an attitude of thanksgiving. Don't blame God for what the sinful world unleashes on you. Tough times will come, but when we allow the Holy Spirit to provide us power, we will persevere through the Lord. The sinful world will do what the sinful world does. And Christian, you must do what the Holy Spirit reveals. The Holy Spirit wants to comfort us. Can you relate to this poem here? This poem that I found says a lot. It says, "Comfort me, Lord, and pay my bills. Comfort me, Lord, cure my ills. Comfort me, Lord, remove my fears. Comfort me, Lord, and dry my tears. Comfort me, Lord, increase my wealth. Comfort me, Lord, and preserve my health. Comfort me, Lord, and plead my case. Comfort me, Lord, and enlarge my place. Comfort me, Lord, and tell me why. Comfort me, Lord, and set me on high. Comfort me, Lord, and do what I say. Comfort me, Lord, and do it today." The Spirit listened as I uttered my mind. He said not a word as I pleaded and pined. And then he spoke in the language of conviction, saying, "Comfort isn't comfort in the absence of affliction." Friends, don't expect comfort in the time of afflictions if you don't know a right relationship when you're not under affliction. True comfort from God is being in right relationship with Him. For when we know and appreciate God's comfort at all times, then we realize that the Holy Spirit will comfort us anytime, and that comfort isn't simply an absence of affliction. But you can't have comfort from a storm, my friends, if you're not in the middle of a storm. Afflictions will come and go, but the Holy Spirit and His comfort remains at all times. The third and final thing I'll share with you is this. The Holy Spirit will guide us in truth. Verse 13 of chapter 16 says, "But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come." Life can get so confusing, can't it? For God, it's so pure. Life is pure. It's not confusing. Life is about truth and it's absolute. For the sinful world, they will often create truth to be what they want it to be. When lies and manipulation and confusion is widespread, what is a Christian to do? Well, verse 13 will become your favorite passage of Scripture. If you're struggling with the world's views on truth, then underline and highlight verse 13. Because it tells us to trust the Holy Spirit. And interesting, it doesn't say trust in yourself. It doesn't say trust in a person, trust in a system. We must trust God in truth. The Holy Spirit will guide us in all truth. The Holy Spirit is described as the Spirit of truth. And what is that? Well, we see in verse 26 of chapter 15, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth." There we hear it again. Spirit of truth. Who goes out from the Father, He will testify about me. So chapter 15, verse 26, and chapter 16, verse 13, both share that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. We see the Holy Spirit, who is God, and He is the Spirit of truth. We also see that Jesus, who is God the Son, described Himself in John chapter 14, verse 6, as being the way, the truth, there's that word again, and the life. Truth is not simply important to God. Truth is God's character. Truth is who God is. In a world filled with lies, Christians, you have the clarity of God's truth in the Holy Spirit. If you're struggling with where to find truth in our sinful world, then the answer is simple. Go to John chapter 16, verse 13, and realize that we must turn to God. Seek the Holy Spirit. Pray and ask the Holy Spirit to discern the matter, to help us to understand it, and to meet and to reveal God's truth. God's truth is about always being consistent with His Scriptures. So read and learn and apply God's truth from the Bible. The Holy Spirit will use the Scriptures to guide you in the truth. The Father knew that life will be tough for Christians on this earth without Jesus being with us. So he gave us the advocate, this helper, the counselor, the truth. Why? Why did God the Father give us the Holy Spirit with these incredible attributes? Well, verse 13 tells us to guide us in all truth. I don't know about you, but many days I struggle with what directions to go. But the Holy Spirit is my guider. He will guide me in the way of truth. Are you sick of all the lies in our country and world? How do you think God feels? Lies and untruths confuse us. They disgust us. It infuriates us. It misleads us. But God has given the Holy Spirit to guide us through the minefields of lies to find God's holy and pure truth. Aren't you thankful that God has equipped you with a lie detector that reveals the world's lies and that guides you in the truth of God? You know how to use that internal lie detector that you have inside of you? Then read your Bible, because that's the important manual. Read the Bible and pray. That instruction manual will then be used by the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us in the way of truth. Are you using the Holy Spirit in the pursuit of God's truth? When we do, it reduces our stress and sets us free and gives us the guidance to life, the life that God desires for his children. I'm going to ask right now if you'll stand to your feet and bow your heads, no one looking around. Let me ask you, as we prepare for an invitation time, are you here today? And friend, do you need help? Do you need help? The help that we all need, first of all, is a real and personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And we get that help when we repent of sin, and repent's a fancy word, and all it simply means is turning the other direction, turning away from sin and turning to Jesus Christ. And then we need to ask God to forgive us of those sins. So when we accept Jesus as God the Son, who died on the cross for our sins, was buried and rose from the grave, it's when we ask God to be the absolute authority of our life, which tells us when we're living for Jesus, we're no longer living for sin. Sin's no longer our life. And when we do that, we receive the indwelling of God himself. The indwelling of God is the Holy Spirit. As Christians, the Holy Spirit is the help when we needed help the most. So do you need help this morning? Do you need help to be a bold witness for Jesus Christ? Are you struggling with your life testimony for Jesus? Seek the Holy Spirit's power. He will help you fulfill God's command to testify and to be his witness. Is life tough for you right now? Do you feel overwhelmed? Friends, you are not alone. The Holy Spirit is with us to give us comfort in good times. He's here to give us comfort in the challenging times. If you accept Jesus as your Lord, then you are a child of God. God wants his children comforted. God wants you in a good relationship with him in good times, because when tough times come, and they most assuredly will, you will know that you're loved and that you have his comfort. God wants to guide you. So he gave us the Spirit of truth to guide us through the minefields of lies and Satan's manipulation. Trust God. Trust his word. Trust his truth. Accept his help right now, right when you needed it the most. Father, we thank you and praise you for who you are. And Lord, if there's anyone here today that needs you in any capacity of their life to accept you as Lord and Savior, to deal with a burden of their heart, to struggles that goes on in the battle of sin that we have given up and no longer is master of our life, but yet sometimes we allow that to encroach upon our life and we allow it to take root where it needs not to be done. Lord, if they're struggling with that, Lord, give us the help. Help, Lord, right now when we need it the most. Lord, help us to testify, to be your witness. Help us no longer to be fearful and afraid, for you did not give us a spirit of timidity. Lord, you've given us power. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Lord, if there's anyone here that needs to make any decision, help us to do that right now. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. We're going to sing page number
332.
If you need to make a decision, I invite you to come right now as we sing.
We'll start off. It's the last Sunday of the month, so we'll do our birthday and anniversary offerings. If you had a birthday in the last month, now's the time. This goes to the Missouri Baptist Children's Home. So. If anybody had an anniversary the last month, no anniversaries. Last call, nothing. Okay. Let's see. So this week's goings on. Men's Bible study is Monday at 6:45. Come be a part of that if you're available. Next month starts the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. There will be envelopes in the pews if they're not already, and as always, you'll remember, you can give online, and I'm going to touch on that a little more in just a little bit. So Annie Armstrong starts next month. Easter's coming. Just an FYI, Tanisha has taken over as nursery coordinator for the worship service. She's looking for volunteers to help out for, you know, don't happen very often, but sometimes there's little ones that have to go back to the nursery, and then she has helpers, and they can go back there, and then the parents can come back in here and continue participating in worship service. So see her if you want to help out with that. March 17th, 3 weeks, the Magnolia Ramblers will be here. This is a group Ray heard of somewhere, so, you know, Ray's a good character, a good judge of music, and I think it's going to be good. I'm looking forward to it, so... Ray, are you serving Pepsi? We'll see. But there's going to be a basket dinner afterwards, so come be a part of that. There will not be meat provided for that, so bring a dish to share with everybody, and we'll have a good time at that. On April 7th, the safety committee will be conducting a tornado and fire drill. And... as I mentioned a little bit before, online giving is now available, up and running on our website. You can go to the website and follow the links, or you can download the Tithely app. I got to be honest, I did it this morning. It took me less than 5 minutes, and I didn't have to have any help. I don't know if I did it right, but got it done. So that's out there. You'll get online and you can see it. There's different options. You can actually contribute to the, just as a tithe, to the different things, to the Annie Armstrong, the building fund, such as like that. So anyway, that's available and up and going, and not too hard. If you do have any questions, see Amy. She'll be glad to help you. Amy Steenbergen. And last, don't forget to like us and friend us on our Facebook page. You can friend us at Mount Olive Baptist Church, or you can like our page at Mount Olive Baptist Church, Russellville, Missouri. Just so you know, the sermon is broadcast. The church service is broadcast over the Mount Olive Baptist Church page. And just as a note of, I think, interest, a couple weeks ago, we were viewed from Kansas to Kentucky. So my sister in Kansas and somebody in Kentucky, I forget who it was. But anyway, you never know. But that works really good if you do have someone that's home that can't get to church and wants to be able to see the service, that they can watch it on Facebook if you, you know, if they have that. Just help them out. So, all righty. Anybody have anything else? All righty. If not, stand, we'll close in prayer. Mike Thompson, would you close us, please?